Tim, Megan, thank you. Very much appreciate that. All right, take your Bibles, please. Take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to the last book in the Old Testament. The last book in the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. When I was a youth pastor, I was also teaching in our Christian school that we had there in Hollister, and we had a student that had an interesting reputation. He was a good kid most of the time, but his name was Malachi, and to tease him, we'd call him Malachi. My problem is when I'd come to this book, and you know, when we'd have devotions or, you know, when we'd have chapel, I'd have to catch myself. I don't want to say, okay, turn to the book of Malachi, please. But good book. So I'll be talking about it in just a moment, but I want to remind you of something first. Remember, we have a card, for those of you that weren't here this morning, we have a card that we are signing for Regina Kumar. And if you could do that, and then we're going to be mailing that out, and just continue to pray for them. As we were singing, I was looking over here to the flag of Hong Kong, and I was reminded of a letter that I just read from the Darlins, and things are getting rather warm there, and I'm not talking about the weather. And you know, when people that defend and promote freedom begin to weaken, there are tyrants in the world that become emboldened. Not everybody is going to recognize it, but I hope and pray that we recognize this, that America, if but for anything else, has been a nation that has made sure that there are others around the world, to one degree or another, behave themselves. And that, again, is starting to fade, and that's kind of sad. But we know that God is in charge, and so we'll let the storm clouds rise. They won't worry us, because, again, God is very much large and in charge. So let's pray. We're going to ask the Lord to guide us in this time as we begin the study of the book of Malachi. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just guide in all things as we look to this book, a warning and a witness to the difficulties that humanity has in remembering what you have done. I pray that you would help us in our memories, that we would recall frequently what you have done, who you are, how you have changed us, and the fact that you are our God. We pray for our nation. We pray for our state. We pray for Bible preaching churches around this nation, that they would recognize the role that they play right now. And no matter what we might think in the flesh is the outcome, we know that we are doing right when we stand for the cause of Christ. And we pray this in His name. Amen. Forgetting has become a pastime to me. I have always had a hard time with names. I need to ask this for the comfort of my own human soul. How many of you have had tough times with names before? Okay, thank you. Yes, that's okay, George. It's no problem. I mean, there have been times I have gotten into conversations with people. I am not going to tell you who you are, but there are people in this room. As you are talking, I am fighting to remember your name. I've been like that. And, you know, when I was in my 30s and 40s, I thought, oh, my soul, have I gotten a head start on dementia or Alzheimer's? No, I'm just a Rogers. And that's, you know, that's the way it is. There are things that I can remember, you know, from way back. But then there are times all of a sudden something will come up short. And it's like, and then I remember hearing about a professor, a well-known professor in a university, who he would be giving a lecture. And the students would be enraptured by what he was saying. And he is speaking and he's giving out his wisdom, and then he pauses. And then he starts speaking again in another direction, and it's like, wow, that is really something. How does he make the transition from this to this? And one of the young people asks him, you know, how do you do that? And he says, it's easy. I forgot about what I was talking about. I'm so glad I have notes. I'm so glad that I stand in front of people who have the same problem that I do. It gets there. You know, you write things down. I'll put down things, a to-do list on my computer, and then forget to check my to-do list. You know, I'm so glad I married this gal. She has saved me from so many things. Amen. For those of you that are watching online, you didn't hear what they just did, and that's okay. That's all right. I would I'd stop here and make a little bit more of a joke about it, but quite honestly, there are some things that we find out that aren't that funny when it comes to forgetting. How many of you remember 19 years ago this last Friday? Remember what it was like? Do you remember your response when you saw those airplanes fly into the buildings? When you saw the people and the terror on their faces? I'll never forget phone calls that we heard from airplanes and from the tops of those buildings. And I remember one man in particular. There was somebody that came and put the picture of the tower, I forget if it was the North or South Tower. And then this man, as he was talking to this woman, 911, and he was talking about how he doesn't want to die. They're terrified. There's two of them up there. And then all of a sudden, the building starts to collapse, and he screams, and then it's over. It's done. There were all kinds of things that took place then. Remember the flags, the American flags? Remember how people, how they, I know we weren't united on everything, but we were united on a lot right then. That was the classic American spirit. I remember seeing a picture, a drawing of the legs of Uncle Sam coming up where those two buildings used to stand. And Uncle Sam was rolling up his sleeves and he was looking out over the ocean. We were going to do something. And now, it seems like that has so gone. We're not the only ones. I got to thinking about it, something, somebody brought this up, and I thought, my soul, he's right. Do you realize that people that are in their early 20s and younger have next to no idea what took place that day? They just don't. They have no idea. It's the same thing with Scripture. It's the same thing with God's people. And in the case of the Old Testament, it's the same thing with the Israelites. We Christians, we get there. We forget what we have seen in Scripture and in life. We forget what we have received in Christ. That's why we're studying what we're studying on Wednesday night. Our identity in Christ. Have we really even taken the time to figure out, I am Christ's friend. I call the God of heaven, Daddy, Abba, Father. Think about it. Moses tried to teach Israel about this very trap, about forgetting. You need not turn to it, but it's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days, depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But instead do this, teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. But that doesn't happen. I'm reading through the book of Jeremiah in my devotions right now. I'm not quite halfway through. Been reading it the last 3 days. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Title of the message tonight is Malachi. What matters? What matters? I had said before we were going to go to three books. I believe God would have us do that. The first book is Habakkuk. What we read there in Habakkuk, we found this. Chapter 1, what was the synopsis? As long as we are here, we will see sin succeed. I want, with all my heart, a revival. I want to see people come to Christ. I want to see Christians get right. But while that is going to take place, we are still going to turn on the TV, we'll still look to the internet, we will still see in the paper where people are sinning. In fact, they are sinning greatly. We will still see corruption in the government. We will still see wickedness in entertainment. We will still see, and for the sake of young ears, I will not go into this, but we will still see governors sign bills into law that are absolutely the wickedest that you can get. And they'll make excuses for it. It's so sad. We're still going to see that. But while we see that, praise God, let's pray for revival. Let's pray that God's people come alive. Amen? Let's pray by God's grace that in the meeting that we have coming in October, folks, we've been praying over it. Other churches are praying. Right now, there are churches that are praying up and down the state of California. On October 9th, there are going to be hundreds. I pray it will be thousands that will get together at the Capitol. You know what we're going to do for 2 hours? We're going to pray. We're going to confess sin. We're going to praise God. We're going to exhort each other to love and to good works. We can still see that. Don't let the wickedness of the wicked tamper what you pray for and what you seek for God to do in your life. Amen? So, chapter 1 in Habakkuk, we're going to still see people sin. Chapter 2, Habakkuk asked this question, "Oh God, where are you?" And this is what God's response was. I'll tell you where I am. I'm on my holy throne in my temple. And I'm doing exactly what I propose to do and what I will do. And I have not lost control. And Habakkuk, I want to tell you something. quote, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea." That's coming. There is a day coming. Praise God. He says, understand, I'm in control. There is no panic in heaven. And then chapter 3, God came. God covered. And Habakkuk came to this conclusion. Habakkuk 3, verse 19. "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places." That's the first book. The third book is the book of Jonah, and I will describe why I believe that's the last one on these Sunday nights we need to look at. But the second one is Malachi. And the reason is we look at Habakkuk and we look at the prophets and we look at everything that we read in Scripture and we recognize this. We forget. And in fact, in the forgetting, there are things that take place that are sad and ought not be. Go, if you would please, Malachi chapter 1. Now, Malachi, I still need to tell you a little bit more. Malachi was the last voice from God before God's people, Israel, heard John the Baptist. Malachi ministered about 100 years after the return of the Jews from captivity. He does have a little bit of a tone that Habakkuk had, as you will see as you read it, that Habakkuk had in his technique, in the questions, Habakkuk writing about 200 years before. Malachi's entire message is punctuated with questions, challenges from God and from the people. The Jewish nation by this time, again, 100 years after they've come back, they're corrupt. They have forgotten. And Malachi, through the power of God and the guidance of God's Spirit, is challenging them because of their corruption. The first thing that we're going to see is God confronts Israel concerning a matter of devotion. Look at verse 1, Malachi 1. "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see it, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel." Listen, the people didn't love God as they ought. They forgot, just like we often do. And they accused God. Listen, they accused God of not loving them. Can we get to where we think God is not loving us? Yes. We might not come right out and say it, but that's exactly how we act. When we all of a sudden we're acting like, you know what? Nobody else is going to take care of me but me. Therefore, I need to call the shots. I need to look out for number one. I need to make sure that I'm being taken care of. That's exactly what we wind up doing when we believe God does not love you. Imagine God coming to us, coming to Faith Baptist, and he says, I have loved you. I've loved you. Now, we might say, amen, God. But wait a minute. Have our actions displayed that? Have we given our entire lives to his care? Have we cast all our care? Just stop and think about that. In many ways, God declares his love to us. He declares it in communication here. He declared it when it came to his love for us through Christ on the cross. He declares his love for us through circumstances. You stop and consider how God has taken care of us in so many ways. When my wife and I will go by the hospital, which it seems we go to Kaiser just a little bit more nowadays, I'm looking at places. I can remember the steps where I called my wife and I talked to her about the cancer that I had. And I remember taking her in there when the McGregors were with us, when she had her situation. And I'm telling you, I can recall and I can remember God took care of us right there. I remembered when we were traveling just a few weeks ago and we were heading down Interstate 40. We were on our way to Albuquerque. And I'm remembering 50 years before how our family was traveling back east. My dad was taking a step of faith. He left a job that was such a good paying job. But he believed with all his heart. God had called him to preach. And I remember how God took care of us. I remember that New Year's Day after we moved back east. On New Year's Day, my dad had a heart attack. I'll never forget that. But you know, God was so good. He met every need. How many of you, God has met your needs? Say amen. See, we can remember this. We ought to recall these things. But when it came to Israel here, he said, hey, wherein hast thou loved us? Now, this challenge can be considered a scorning. They just didn't go, well, how have you loved us? No, these people were in their attitude challenging God, and you don't want to be there. You absolutely don't want to be there. I have had people in my office that have been hard-hearted and hard-headed, and they have challenged the love of God, and even Scripture would not speak to them. God, when speaking to Israel, gave them the strongest illustration. He says, wait a minute, was not Esau Jacob's brother? But I loved Jacob. Now remember, love and hate are choices. He said, I choose Jacob. I will bless Jacob. It is through Jacob Jesus will come. I will deal with Jacob kindly. I am not choosing Esau. He is wicked. And though Jacob is wicked as well, and the descendants will be wicked, I choose them. Stop and consider it. In that, what God is telling us there, he is showing us grace. For by grace are ye saved. Now, wait a minute.
Amen.
I'm glad for that. No, wait a minute. You know, you are saved. You know, the one that fell into this sin, fell into that sin, the one that has bitterness, the one that has hate, the one that has done this or this and has hurt people, he has shown grace. How many of you rejoice for the grace of God? Now see, we're looking at Israel. They are 100 years after there were godly men. You think of them, Ezra, Nehemiah, you think about others that brought these people back. They rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the wall. They were rejoicing at what God could do. 100 years from now, the corruption was up to here. And God is saying, I loved you. You know, I am so glad for the love of God. But it hurts, I should say, when I stop and consider that there have been times in my actions, I haven't taken that into consideration. God so loved me, but I just blatantly sinned a sin that he had to pay for. I added, now the Lord knows the end from the beginning, but as it were, looking from my point of view, I added to Christ's suffering. You added to Christ's suffering. He still loves us. He still chooses. Israel did not deserve God's love. Listen, God determined to love Israel, not because of their goodness or their love, but because the sovereign God chose to love them. Because God loved Jacob and not Esau, great judgment came on Esau. There was retribution on Esau because of their sin. Look at verse 3. Laid his mountains and his heritage waste. God devastated Esau for their wickedness. Second, the return. We will return and build the desolate places, Edom said, Esau. What happened? Look at verse 4. They shall build, I'm going to throw down. The people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Now, could individuals be saved? Yes. But as a nation? No. God chose Jacob. And then he said, your eyes shall see. And it's sad. These people saw this. They looked in their history. They looked in the Old Testament. They looked in the record. And they saw what God did in Egypt and brought them out and blessed them here and here and here. He says, your eyes shall see it. Didn't matter. There's a matter, he says, when it comes to your devotion. The problem was not God's lack of love for them. The problem was theirs and their lack of love for God. Listen, we get into a situation where we begin to see God wrongly, and all of a sudden, God can do no right. It gets there, folks. There are people out there, young people, it breaks my heart, that I have taught in Christian school, and their attitudes towards God now, they have forgotten everything. Not because I was so smart, it was the Word of God. But they have negated it. Their church members, the very same thing. I want my sin. It's better than God's love. Well, you know what? Be sure your sin will find you out. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands, we sang. I'd rather have Jesus. You know what? I'd rather have Jesus than what's going on out there. I'd rather have Jesus. You know, we want the world to know that. I got to thinking about this, and there's no way we can do it. Tomorrow, sometime during the day, the president's Air Force One is going to fly right next to our church, right over here. I thought if we could get all of our people out there and somehow line up and have it say, Jesus saves. Get the cars and park them. Jesus saves. I don't know. That's just me. You see, we know this. We get into God's Word, but we are prone to forget. And when we do, we're in trouble. Secondly, there's a matter of dishonor. Oh, this is a rough one. This is hard. Look at verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Is this Cody? Okay, Cody, I'm working for you right now. Ah, dude, shut up. By the way, where's my paycheck? Now, I just dishonored him. You see? You know, there are people that have tried to show nice things. We have gotten so bad, and I am so angry, but I'm not going to get into the flesh. When we have two officers, a woman who has a child 6 years old, and a man in there, both of them have been on the job for only 14 months, and somebody decides they're going to walk up and shoot them, and who is it that the NFL, otherwise known as Not For Long, the NFL is going to honor? We've got a problem. We need to make sure the problem does not come into God's house. We need to keep attitudes out there. That's why, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And be careful, little heart, what you meditate on. We need God's word. Verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Listen to what you're bringing to me for a sacrifice. Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he would be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it! And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. This is not going to be long. I'm going to summarize this, but I want you to listen, and listen in a hurry. If you do not love God as you should, you will not honor him as you should either. Let me say that again. If you do not love the Lord as you should, you will not honor him as you should either. This is why the church at Ephesus, remember, their declining love for Christ. Hey, you've left your first love, and when the first love deteriorates, everything else becomes tradition. Everything else just becomes rote. You come in, you do your thing, you leave, and that's it. I want to get home. I've got this, this, and this to do. This is what God's people do. Verse 6, remember, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. God says, look, I have a father relationship. I've got a master relationship to Israel, but they do not honor me. We say, we think back in, you know, those days. Hey, you know what? Those days are not what we're living right now. We need to understand this. We have a relationship with God. There are days when it seemed to be easier. It was better. No. This is what we need to do. We need to, first of all, check our attitude when it comes. Like Israel, what do we think when it comes to honoring him? Israel, in both their priest and their people, dishonored God. In fact, there's a passage in Hosea, like priest, like people, like priest. It's hard to differentiate here just what the priest was doing, the people were doing. They were doing the same thing. There was disrespect. Verse 7, verse 12, there was a contemptuous attitude. They had no respect for the worship. Now that, you know, we don't go to a temple. We don't go to a synagogue. But we do come before the Lord, right? We come before the Lord here. We sing. We listen to God's word. Do we endure or do we embrace? Good questions. Second, there was not only a disrespect, there was a weariness. Remember? It just, you know, this wears me out. It just isn't worth it anymore. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. There's a disinterest. Verse 10, who is there among you that would shut the doors? You know, I do enough for the church. I remember one time, many, many years ago, my wife was working on the nursery list. And she approached a lady in our church and asked her about working in the nursery. And she about got her head chopped off. Nobody helped me. Why should I be a help to anybody else? And I was like, okay. You see, it was more than a weariness. How dare you? I've done my time. You know, what we need to do is get a fresh idea about God's time and what he's done for us. You see, the reason why these attitudes are important, our attitudes lead to actions. The first action, a defective offering. You brought the blind, the lame, the sick. I'll tithe, Lord, if I can afford it. I'd tithe, Lord, but there's a better car. There's a place I want to go. There's something that I want to do. There's a bigger television that I want to get. Something like that. Lord, I'll do it when I can. I'll give time when I can. I'll give my crumbs, but I'm going to save the best for myself. Think about it. Defective offerings. And then there's the deceit in the offering. Look at verse 14. Cursed be the deceiver. Watch. Voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. Lord, I'll give you this. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They lied. Yeah, we sold it for that much, and then they give this much. It's the same thing here. I'll give you the best, Lord, but that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. So the attitudes lead to actions in the offering, and then it winds up becoming a full-fledged argument. Verse 8, the Lord says, offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? If the defectiveness in their offerings and their dishonor for God would not pass muster in the secular world, Why did the people think it would pass? With God. Again, the president is flying in tomorrow. Suppose somebody called you and said, listen, you're going to get an opportunity to meet President Trump. Is there anybody here that would go there in t-shirt and blue jeans? Now, I know there might be a few people here. Oh, hey, that sounds really good. No, not in this crowd. But you understand what I'm saying? We sing that song, give of your best to the master. We have to be so careful with that. With that dishonor, God says, anathema. I'm not going to take it either. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Instead, this is what's going to happen, Israel. My name shall be great among the Gentiles. I'm rejecting your offering. And eventually, as we know, God rejected them, and the gospel came to the Gentiles. Romans chapter 1. You know, we need to be careful in our devotion. We need to be careful. We need to be careful in dishonoring God. Through Malachi, God is saying, wait a minute. I love you, but you're having doubts. And that attitude is leading to actions that are not right. And we'll continue with this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we would take the warning that we find here. We realize Israel has suffered greatly because they rejected their king. I pray that we will not fall into the same thinking, having our love grow cold as it did at Ephesus. May instead we recognize and remember what God, our God, has given us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.